Hello, Midtown. It's always so good to be here and to share with you guys and to just be part of this family. We're really blessed in this church to just be so close together. So today, I just want to give you a little bit of an update on Zambia. I'm going to kind of go through it relatively quickly. Because I want to spend time worshiping God afterwards as a worshiper, I'm like, ooh, that's the good stuff. So these are also good things that we do for the kingdom, but I could just worship for a long, long time and enjoy that. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Father, that you've brought all of us together in this place, that you have a purpose and a plan for each of our lives, God. I thank you for the opportunities that you give us in our lives on a daily basis, and the opportunities you've given us through this church as well to grow and just spread our wings, Lord. I know that I've just been immensely blessed by that. And I just ask, Father, that you would bring your spirit of encouragement to people this morning. Bring your spirit of hope to people this morning. And just flow in the words and what you want me to share today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Vero mentioned, I'm a missionary in Zambia. And the project that I do is called Hope Ignited. I like the colorful, look of this because it's what reflects bringing life, bringing fire, bringing passion into people's lives. And that's really what I've been wanting to do. I work with a rural village that is about 12 kilometers off the main road. So you go into the bush and you go in the potholes and it's all that kind of fun thing. But folks there really just don't have many opportunities to see outside of their own circumstances. So my vision is to really bring opportunity, life, and hope into that place through God's love. A little bit about Zambia. Zambia is the 39th largest country in the world. The population is over 13 million. The life expectancy is only 52 years. So it's a very big country. It's not, there's been a lot of death. This picture here is from one of the local schools. The AIDS has really wiped out about a generation of people, a lot of children staying with their parent or their grandparents, rather. And this is the reality that they live with every day. This is a Google map of Kamafwesa. So this is the village that I work with. This is all dirt road, and there's not a lot of infrastructure here. What you see over on your left is a school and a football pitch, and that's another partner organization that I work with that has come in before me and has set up those things. So we work together and try to help this village, but that's kind of all they've got going on right now. Obviously, there's a lot of poverty, and there's no electricity in the village. People live in these houses made of clay bricks and various forms of roofing. There's also not a lot of opportunities for children, and this is a big thing because when the kids don't have anywhere to go past the grade 6, that is the local school, they will either give up on their education or, they'll entertain themselves by going down to the bars at night, and that's where there's something going on. So they end up, having sex at a really young age and a lot of teenage pregnancies, and obviously the AIDS issue is made worse by that. These are some of the kids in the village. This is what happens when I walk through the village, and kind of like the Pied Piper, they all kind of follow me, and they're awesome little kids, and we just want to bring God's love to these kids. Here's some more. And, what strikes me about this is this picture, these kids are making little clay cars and stuff. And, a lot of us, I remember playing in the mud when I was a kid. and making mud pies and things. But just to bring it in perspective, this is the only toys that they have. These are the only things that they have to play with. Everybody always asks me about the food. These are caterpillars. And I put this up here. I mean, it's a fun thing. Yes, I have tried them. No, they don't taste like chicken. And, you know, I've tried a few different bugs over the course of time. Now, actually, these are a luxury for some people. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to have protein in their diet. So although people do have access to maize and some of the staples and stuff like that, their diet becomes very unbalanced, and that's where you see a lot of disease and issues coming up with nutrition. This is a picture of the container. So for those of you that don't know, it was a two-year project that I did, and with the help of many of you here, yay, bless you guys, yeah. So not both of these containers, but one of them we filled to bring things to the community. This was my apartment before I left, before we actually had the container to put stuff in. And so a lot of the things that I collected from many of you were put in boxes and put much more tidily into the container. It included things like one-time donations, like clothing and stuff, and then also items that were more sustainable for sustainable projects. So knitting equipment, sewing equipment, bicycles, that sort of thing. The container took a long time to come, and everybody was really excited. And this was a picture of everybody unloading the container in the middle of the night in the pouring rain. I couldn't have stopped anyone had I tried. You can see that they're standing on a table. So, you know, in Africa, you just kind of go with the flow. There's not quite as many safety standards as we have here in Canada, but it all got done. And it was a really amazing testimony to God's hand on this. I always felt that there was angels with this container from the time I actually got the physical container at my dad's place sitting in the parking lot in Scarborough. I felt that there was angels sitting on that thing and protecting it. And when we opened these doors all the way in Africa, like 4.5, 5 months later, not a single thing in the container had shifted. I've never found a broken dish. I've never found a broken anything. Like, honestly, just to God be the glory that nothing in that thing was broken and every single thing went to the right place. The only thing we didn't take off was the piano. I insisted on this. So we have a piano. We want to teach kids music. We want to give them, again, opportunities. And so we took the piano off on the next day. Then we had to actually get the container off, again, a go-with-the-flow attitude of pulling this container off. We didn't have proper forklifts or anything. We used a chain. We ended up tying cables to a tree, and eventually the truck went forward. The container stayed behind, and I prayed the whole time because I'm like, oh my gosh, nobody goes to the clinic today. Please, nobody goes to the hospital or the clinic. But no one was hurt. It was really great, and it just kind of plop went into the right spot. So that, again, was another miracle. It only took about 4 hours, you know. So okay, and then I think this might come up. Yeah, it's just, all right. These are just pictures of us distributing the clothes, and we did a few different rounds of distribution, one for generally the population in town. This is a dad with his daughter. I love this picture, picking something for her. And then we also did another round of giving stuff to the children in the school. We created little gift bags for them, 2 pieces of clothes each, and a little toy, because we had these stuffed toys that we had collected. And so we tried to give every kid a toy or stickers. Some of them chose stickers, as you can see. So, yeah, I just again, I just want to bless you guys for helping make this possible, you know. Our kind of future moving forward plans is that the container should be used as a library. So we want to renovate it, put windows, a door in it, that sort of thing. So we've built this foundation. This was all done with volunteer support around the village. They did all the heavy lifting and the hard work. This is about day three, and then this is the end. So they built this foundation. Right now, we don't have the container on it because we didn't have the right means of getting it off the truck, so that's something I have to kind of figure out when we get back. But the foundation is there, the container is there, we just need to bring them together. This is one of the programs that we started, which was the knitting program. And so we wanted to do knitting and sewing. We started with knitting because it's a little bit easier logistically. These ladies, it's just so awesome. We interviewed people. We found out who was interested, who had the right heart for the community, who wanted to give back to people in their community and teach one another as well. And so these ladies all came up and were part of the group. And this one lady, in the middle, in the brown checks, it was her first project that she had ever done. And so she knitted this little sweater. This is her sweater here, the black and white one. And so they're working and they're doing that. And it was just a matter of me coming and helping them to get on track with something. They already had the skills. There's skills in the village. There's abilities in the village. And sometimes it just takes someone to, you know, bring everyone together and work in that cooperative way. So these things are actually on sale outside should you want to buy anything. We also did a bike to school program. And there were five bicycles in the container. We did a similar thing of interviewing people for the bicycles. What we decided to do was give them to some of the children that have to go a really long way to school. Like I said, the school ends at grade 6. So after grade 6, there's nowhere for them to really go. The next level of school is sometimes 2 to 3 hours walk. All of these children were dedicated to going to their school. And I'm talking about 2 to 3 hours each direction. So because of the length of the walking that they're doing, they're not able to be there all day. They're exhausted when they come back. And, you know, they can't put into, you know, their studies. So it's one of my favorites because these kids are just so excited and blessed and happy. And I think it will play. We'll see. So this is Anesta's letter that she wrote, and I'll just read it for you. There was audio of her reading it, which is so cute. But so I, Anesta, Mom, and Daddy are very excited to thank you what you have done for our living. We had no transport to be helping us to transport our goods to the market and to assist me school, but due to the power of God, we have the bicycle transport at home. I can't thank you, the helping, it should be helping sponsor, so much for your support once again. I thank you for clothing me. My mother did select me a beautiful blouse that was part of what was in the container as well. I hope and pray for you, the sponsor, to continue supporting us. Thank you and God bless. And then this is Jonathan. The bicycle you given me, I was suffering to go to school because school is far away from my place. From my place is about 10 kilometers. May God bless you in helping me. Since you help me with the bicycle, I sell biscuits, sweets, and soap. My capital is 48,000 kwacha, which is just under $10. The bicycle you've given me is transport. I am in grade 9 at Kasongo Basic School. After finishing the school, I have been, or I will be, a teacher. So We also support these children in helping them to find ways to create income because they need to be able to maintain their bicycles. Everything we've tried to do has to be sustainable. And also just peer support because there is always the pressure of, you know, somebody else in the family using the bicycle instead of it going for school purposes or using the bicycle to transport beer or something because drinking is a big issue down there. So we spend time with them doing that. We also have been doing different programs for spiritual support, Bible study, taking advantage of community meetings. Zambia is a self-proclaimed Christian nation, so that's great. That means that we can go and speak at different community meetings and make it, you know, a little Bible word and God's word at the same time. And just spending time with people because, you know, there's a real richness to that. Okay, I'm just going to... I'm just going to speed up a little bit, but ongoing projects and plans. There's a local person that I've been training because really I want to be able to leave this in somebody's hands. We just train people to replace ourselves and move on to what God has next for us. Expanding, this is the knitting project, expanding that project and the sewing project. Again, spending time and empowering children and youth around the village. And this is a picture of just some kids playing, and they just don't have a chance to play. And, you know, you notice these boys are big, but they don't care. They're just so happy to have some toys and something to push them creatively. And this photo here I find is really interesting, the one with the little child washing. The ladies were in the room and they were washing the floor, and the child came in and he's with his mom, and you can see there's drums, there's toys, there's stuff behind him, but what does he do? He picks up the washing because that's what he knows to do and that's kind of his entertainment and stuff. So it's interesting, again, you know, we take so many things for granted because we see so much opportunity in front of us. And, you know, when you don't really understand what it is to go bang on a drum and make music and things like that, you just kind of go with what you know. So along the same lines, opportunities in sports, we want to do some football, and we've got baseball stuff and music as well, piano, guitar, that sort of thing. And finally, we're doing some renovations, again, for the local staff and to give ourselves a place to work, and the renovations for the library for the container. So I just want to touch on a couple of things. Esther 4, 6, 12. And I'm just going to look actually at verse 14. This version is, sorry, I forgot my Bible and went to my iPhone, and it's King James, but anyway. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And, you know, we all have opportunities in our walk with God, in our place in, you know, the church body. The Lord calls us all to do something. It doesn't matter who we are. You know, age doesn't matter, whether we're older or we're younger. You know, our position in life doesn't matter. We teach the same values and things from the Lord to the people in Zambia about helping one another and supporting one another as we have the opportunities here in Canada. You know, abilities or our perceived inabilities don't matter because we rely on God to fill the gap. And the thing is that... we come into a place for a time such as now, you know, faith without deeds doesn't get us anywhere. We have to move out and step into what God has for us. And you know, when I first came here, I was afraid. I'm shy. I'm not really this like outgoing, hey, whatever person. But I just stepped into the opportunities God put in front of me. And oh my gosh, have I been blessed. Oh my gosh, how I've been blessed, you know? And we want to walk into our destinies, and it just sometimes it takes that step of faith. So I want to say to you, you know, yeah, God can find someone else. God can provide. God could even do it sovereignly, and you know, whatever it is I need, drop money in my pocket or whatever these programs. But He wants to partner with us. He wants to help us walk into our destiny. And so it is for a time such as now. I won't go to James, but I just want to, this particular verse was really encouraging to me, because you would think that going out and doing this stuff and bringing stuff to a community, as I thought, everybody would welcome you with open arms. It doesn't always happen. You know, it's hard. We hold on to the successes. We hold on to the things we've seen with the kids of the bicycle program. We've hold on to the things with the knitting program. But there's a lot of learning culturally, and there's a lot of things that people just don't, for whatever reason, want you there. I think we all have our issues with change. We all have our adversity to change. And when I came upon this verse in Matthew, that says, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you invited me in, I needed clothes and you clothed me, I was sick and you looked after me, I was in prison and you came to visit me." The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And just as a reminder that whatever we do, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in Africa, whether it's with your family, we do it for Christ. We do it for His love and glory and for the sacrifice that He made for us first, right? And yeah, like, you can't always expect everything to go perfectly or go well, but if you remember how much He loved you and how much He sacrificed for you first, and you remember how proud and how much He loves you, and if you fall into that, you'll be encouraged to keep moving forward and keep pressing in and persevering. So a couple of things of needs when I come to this part. You know, as you support me, you support people in Zambia. Not everybody wants to go to Africa. Not everybody wants to do that, but we all have a different part to play in the situation. There's different ministries in this church as well, whether it's the White Rose or Amanda in Japan, right? There's different ways that we can step out. And it just occurred to me today, it was like, I'm part of this body, and just because I'm in Zambia doesn't mean I'm not part of this body anymore. You know, the thumb is not severed off and sent to Zambia. I take each of you with me. I need each of you. I need the continued support of this church. So prayer is so important. Prayer is so important for all of these things. The devil really tries to throw absolutely everything at you. Discouragement, temptation, everything. And so please, please hold us in prayer. Finance is another huge one, right? You can see the projects that we're trying to do. You can see where the needs are. And again, you're pouring into this community in Zambia by doing that. And encouragement. I love encouragement. I love when I get these little notes from home. Carrie's not here today, but Carrie just sends me these rambling emails about what the kids are doing, what the cat's done, and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, I feel connected. I feel loved. I feel like someone's thinking of me. So please don't be shy about being an encourager. So these are just some of the things. If you want to contribute financially, you can do that. And I'll just let you read through. We're going to put a bucket kind of at the back, I think. And today, as we go through some more worship, as we go through this time, if God puts something on your heart, I just encourage you to go and put something in there. These are just all the good things that your contributions will go to. If you want to use any of the tithing envelopes, you can do that. You just need to make sure that Zambia Natasha is written on it, or Japan Amanda, or whatever you want to do to support these causes. And you can also, you know, if you want to just do a smaller amount or a big amount monthly, you can fill out these pre-authorized forms that are out there. Again, just write all over it Zambia Natasha, so it's really clear where it's specifically going. So, so I just want to leave you with this. So there's surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off, Proverbs 23:18. And bringing these kids hope, bringing kids life and something to just run towards is just so incredibly important. We think in ways of, hey, what am I doing next week? What am I doing in 3 months from now? How do I plan my life? And people there just don't quite have that concept yet. They're living day to day. They're living hand to mouth. And so, you know, when I work with Meshach, the fellow that I'm training there, and I'm bringing in these new concepts, ideas, and he's suddenly getting it. He's like, yeah, I'm thinking of what's happening next week, and I'm thinking of what's happening next year. And I'm like, that's what we want. And we want to have these kids thinking about their next year and thinking about their 5 years and how they're going to get there, and let's help them on that road to getting there. So, yeah, I just bless you guys for your help.
So, wait, everybody just stretch out your hand toward Natasha. Ha. And just begin to pray. Just begin to pray for Natasha, just out loud, all at once, it's okay. God hears you.